I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, protests in Turkey. But now, a beauty school in Afghanistan? Now, building a beauty salon is probably not the first thing most of us would think to do if we traveled to Afghanistan. But that's what hairdresser Deborah Rodriguez did when she traveled there in 2002. She chronicles her adventures in a memoir called Kabul Beauty School. Now, we talked with Ms. Rodriguez before reports surfaced that some of her book may be inaccurate. But Random House stands by Ms. Rodriguez, and she joined us from her home in Michigan to tell us her story.
I'm a hairdresser by trade, and I took a couple weeks off and went to Chicago and took disaster relief training. And I wound up training, and 9/11 happened, and I was deployed out to Ground Zero, and I worked with the firefighters there. And the same team then went to Afghanistan. And I was begging a place on the team, and it was doctors and nurses. And I says, please take me with. And they said, but you're a hairdresser. I says, I know. And they says, but we're medical. I says, yeah, but you haven't looked at your hair. And so I wound up actually begging a spot on the team, and I went to Afghanistan.
So did you really intend to go and offer, beauty services to the relief workers? Was that the plan?
No, actually, I was, I figured there would be something for me to do. I wound up doing laundry, actually. But then when people found out that I was a hairdresser, that's when it just got crazy. And that's when I found out that I was actually kind of needed in that country. As sticky notes were on my door every night. I'd come home to them, and I wound up doing hair. So that's when I started investigating the entire situation for hairdressing, and was shocked when I went into a salon that's about the size of a bathroom with a broken mirror, and the woman was using scissors the size of hedge clippers and rolling perms with sticks and rubber bands. So I just spent the day with them, and I was haunted by these women, and I couldn't get them out of me. I had a hard time sleeping, and I knew that I couldn't turn my back on them.
How did you start then working with the Afghan women?
Well, so when I came back from Afghanistan, I knew I had to do something. And so it was at that time I actually just grabbed a bottle of Paul Mitchell shampoo and saw this 800 number, and their biggest mistake was, leave a detailed message. And I went into this whole spiel and basically asked them if they would be willing to help me. And John Paul DeJoria, the owner of Paul Mitchell, called up and says, "What, Deb, what are you doing?" And I told him. And so that's how my end of it started. But then as a couple months went by, I teamed up with a group of women from New York who were also on the same track. And we merged together as a team. And that was the first class was started then.
How did you actually start working with the Afghan women themselves? How did that come about?
Well, I really didn't on the first trip, but it was when I started hearing their horror stories about, I can't get a good haircut, I had to drive 12 hours through the Khyber Pass to get foils. It's when I started investigating the salons.
Some people might hear this and think, okay, come on, you're here to save lives and minister to the wounded. What do you care whether you can get a perm or not? Why was it so important?
I was haunted by these women, and I'd been watching, like everybody else, how they would take the woman into the stadium and shoot her, and just the oppression that these women had been under. And I myself was in my own abusive marriage, and I knew my skill as a hairdresser. I could hide money. He never understood how much money I had. And I knew that I could go anywhere and get a job. And so I thought if this could free me, this could possibly free them. And then once I got understanding the culture just a little bit more, the beauty industry is huge in that country. The women are immaculate. They are so well-groomed that it's not like we're pushing our Western standards on them. We're kind of casual compared to them. And if you think about it, as time went on, I started understanding the system a little bit better. Men are not allowed in these salons. If they're even doing hair in their home, a man is not allowed into that room. So these women are in complete control of that environment. So it gives them that one space in their life that they have control over. They're in control of their money. They're in control of their environment. A man cannot take that job away from them. And they can be the same women they were before the training as a hairdresser. They could be the mother of 12 and have two children nursing at the same time and still be hairdressers.
Were women allowed to get their hair done under the Taliban?
It was a little dangerous. My one girl, Basira, in the book, she was telling me about how she had put a sign on her door that said she was a tailor. And so people would come in, and all the women knew that this was a beauty salon, but, you know, it was a female tailor. And so that's the way she snuck around it.
Tell me some of the things that women there like to do as part of their beauty rituals.
Well, the thing that I noticed that was kind of the most unusual is their eyebrows and hair removal. Like, they take all the hair off their face in a horribly painful method called threading. And you almost have to see it to even get how that works. But they do this. That is just something that is they do every week.
What do you mean? You use thread instead of a tweezers?
You know, like we do waxing. They do threading. They take all the hair off their face. And their eyebrows are just so groomed. I'm like, I looked at mine today thinking, oh, my girls would just kill me if they saw my eyebrows. And, you know, on top of that, their hair. You know, they might not be what we would consider the most trendy, but they will use the products that they have. They were using henna at the time. So everybody had henna. And then when the color started coming into the country, they'd all want that red-violet hair. And, you know, they were getting these frizzy perms.
Who is all this primping and prettifying for? Is it for the husbands or is it for the other women?
Well, they have all these parties, which are all, you know, the men on one side and the women on the other. They really glam up for those. And then, you know, they have, I don't know if I can say this on radio, but like Thursday night is like the sex night. And so the women will doll up for Thursday night. For their husbands.
Every Thursday night is like the designated...
It's like the whole country. Yeah.
Night? Really?
Yeah,
how
I know. I thought that was so weird.
Why? Is that the night before? Because the night before Friday prayers, the worship day?
Like our Sunday. So it's like Saturday night.
Oh. You also got married yourself.
I did, and that's why I needed to be filled in.
So how did that come about?
Well, I see I have this, my evil girlfriend. She decided that I must be married. She thought this was the funniest thing. And, of course, it was kind of all in joking. We need to get you a husband, Debbie. And I'm thinking, I just got rid of one. You know, I just really don't need another one. And they were just, you know, it was always the big joke because everybody was either married or had a boyfriend, and I was by myself. It was just me. And so one day she comes running into my room. Debbie, we found you a husband. We found you a husband. Put something sexy on. And I looked at her and like, yeah, which sexy burqa do you want me to wear? The blue one or the white one? And, you know, the next thing I know, I'm loaded up in this car and I'm at this restaurant with, you know, this guy and all our friends, and everything's being said in Farsi, and they're joking, oh, look at now you have a wife and this is your husband, and they're going on and they're bargaining over me for camels, and, you know.
Did you think they were serious or did you think
no,
it was a joke?
No, I thought they were joking. If you'd seen us, you would think we're rip-roaring drunk, but we weren't. And it was just they were having too much fun at my expense, actually. And, you know, we started just all hanging out, and it got to be a problem that dating, there is no dating. I mean, and his family is very, very conservative, and he was so nervous that his family was going to, you know, find out, and they were going to have this huge problem, and, you know, me dating him would completely ruin my reputation in the Afghan world. So I had to be really careful. And so 20 days went by, and it was like, what do you do? And I says, well, okay. And honestly, not really knowing what I was getting into, I married him, and we've been married now almost 4 years, and it was tough going in the beginning, but...
Do you love him?
Yes, I do. We didn't know each other in the beginning, so I didn't love him then, But yeah, and he was a really good match for me. I pick bad husbands. My friends did a really good job.
And how are you wearing your hair now?
Oh, I got it long and red now. Yeah, I have hair extensions, so I change it. I buy my hair every 4 months, new ones.
Okay. Sounds good. So, Deva Rodriguez, she is the author of Cabell Beauty School, and she joined us from Holland, Michigan. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. This is great.